Psalm 39, verses 1 through 13. This is the reading of God's Word. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I refrained even from good, and my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Before you have made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I have become mute. I do not open my mouth, because it is you who have done it. Remove your plague from me, because of the opposition of your hand, I am perishing. With reproofs, you chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to him. Surely every man is a mere breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner like all my fathers. Turn your gaze away from me, that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. As we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will hear it, understand it, and that we will believe it and obey to bring glory and honor to you. O Father, through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us, through your word, see what your Son has done for us. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our psalm's title tells us that this psalm was written for the choir director, for Jeduthun. Yeah, I'm going to have some problem reading these Old Testament names, so bear with me. And we meet Jeduthun in 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1 and 3 and 6. Moreover, David and the commanders of the army set apart for the service some of the sons of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, who were to prophesy with lyres and harps and cymbals and the number of those who performed their services. Of Jeduthun, the son of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zerai, Jeshiah, Shimei, and Hashabiah, and Mattithiah, six under the direction of their father Jeduthun with the harp, who prophesies in giving thanks and praising the Lord. All these were under the direction of their father to sing in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the services of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun and Haman were under the direction of the king. And we also, when we read 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 15, it tells us that he is the king's seer. So this psalm was real for him, and he will use this psalm in the service at the temple of God. Now, the title also tells us that this psalm is written by King David. And just as Psalm 38, which we saw last Lord's Day, here in Psalm 39, David is going through once again a great suffering due to the discipline of the Lord because of his sins. The situation that David is in is a lot like that of Psalm 38, that which we saw last week. God's discipline for David is so great that we see David crying out to God, like verse 10, "Remove your plague from me, because of the opposition of your hand, I'm perishing." Meaning he's saying, "I'm dying." David says, like verse 13b, "that I may smile again before I depart and am no more." David thinks as he writes this psalm that he is about to die. All these things witness to us the greatness of David's sufferings. Let's begin looking at the psalm, verse 1 through 3. David says, "I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I refrained even from good, and my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue." God's discipline is obviously too much for David to bear. Verse 10, God's plague and the opposition of God's hand. Verse 11 tells us that God chastened David with reproofs. The pain and sufferings are just too great for David. As David is forced to stand on the verge of his death brought on by God's judgment upon him because of his sins, or to borrow his expression in verse 11, as he sees all that is precious and beautiful being consumed as a moth, David realizes how utterly futile and meaningless the life of a man is. And in order for him not to sin further with his lips, David is silent, especially in front of the wicked people, meaning non-believers. Verse 1, "I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle." Because if David opens his mouth, the wicked will understand what he says as his complaints to God, his dissatisfaction of God. Moreover, they will say that God has no power to help David. That's why, especially in front of non-believers, he keeps silent. And he is silent because he knows that God's judgment is upon him because of his sins. Thus, he is silent. He even refrains from good things. James chapter 1 verse 26, "If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless." David is trying very hard to endure without saying anything. But as we read, we know that his pain is too severe. Job, another person we see in the Old Testament, at that point, unlike David, he complains and he protests to God. Job chapter 7, verse 16, I waste away, I will not live forever. Leave me alone, for my days are but a breath. What is man that you magnify him and that you are concerned about him, that you examine him every morning and try him every moment? Will you never turn your gaze away from me, nor let me alone until I swallow my spittle? Have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target, so that I am a burden to myself? You might say, how dare Job says things like this? And yet, we might not say in so much words, but our hearts are saying these things. But David, unlike Job, tries his best to endure. But as he thinks about his situation more and more, his anxiety increased. Verse 3, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. More he meditated, more angry he got. And as a sinner, this is David's limit in enduring. Thus he opens his mouth. And combined with a little anger, he speaks. Verse 4 through 6. O Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. David knows, but like all of us, he forgets. And we forget very often. Thus, David asked God, verse 4, make me to know, let me know. Make me to know my end. Let me know how transient, how brief I am. Man is weak and feeble. Life is very short. Some of you who are young might think that your life is very long. But ask anyone who is old and they will tell you how life is very short. Verse 5, you have made my days as handbreadths, meaning as long as the length of my hand. That's how long my life is. Even at best, a man is a mere breath. A mere breath. The same word is translated in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2 as meaningless or vanity. There we read, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It is like a breath and it's gone. See, this is a sinner's life. A life that receives the eternal judgment of God because of sin. It is truly meaningless. Oh, world wants to put all kinds of meaning to people's lives. So they say all kinds of meaningful things at the memorial services. But that man is under God's eternal judgment in hell forever. What meaning are they talking about? See, this is sinner's life. But see, sinners hate to hear this kind of stuff. That's why they do all kinds of things to put some meaning to their, whatever they're doing, they want to put some meaning. But if you're going to end up in hell, what meaning is all that? Well, the world will continue to speak of meaning. And they will write it in their history books. And generations after, they will talk about that person. But the fact is, he's in hell. Because he is without Christ. This is Bible's judgment of the life of a sinner. Completely meaningless. Mere breath. It's gone. But this is not how the sinners think about their lives. Obviously. But the Bible is very clear. Psalm 90, let me read to you verse 8 through 12. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury? He's talking about God. According to the fear that is due you. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. We need to humble ourselves before God. And best way to do is to realize how short my life is. As we see the end, we all get old and will die. James chapter 4 verse 14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Verse 6 in our psalm. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. See, the sinners, what do? They walk about as phantoms like shadows. And they're busy themselves in vain things. And they gather worldly riches and do not know who will actually enjoy them. This is the life under the sun without Christ. Oh yeah, when you read the news, everybody is so excited about all these things, and yet you ask, what is all that? At the end, it's all meaningless. And when we're living in heaven, we're not even going to remember those things anymore. And yet, they're so excited about it, as if that's the meaning of their lives. Mama. We have to be wise. God says in Luke chapter 12, verse 20 through 21, we see a story of a rich man. He gathers so much wealth and says to himself, let's take it easy now. Let's eat, drink, and be very merry. But God says to him, verse 20, but God says to him, you fool. This very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Yes, he says, now I have worked and gathered so much wealth. Let's enjoy. And God says, no, you're dying tonight. Then what? Then what was all that hard work and all that gathering of wealth that that person has done? What's the meaning of it? Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 17 through 23. Now this is long, but listen, this is wisdom. So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after wind. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun, for I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore, I completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun. When there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, then he gives his legacy to one who has not labored with them. This too is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man get in all his labor and in his striving with which he labors under the sun? Because all his days his task is painful and grievous, even at night his mind does not rest. This too is vanity. Now you might say, it sounds so negative. But you are the one who needs to realize that your life without Christ is so negative. They pretend that there's some meaning to it. But without salvation, what meaning you're going to talk about forever and ever and ever in hell? It's vanity. Thus, God tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. We move on, verse 7 in our Psalm 3:11. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I have become mute. I do not open my mouth because it is you who have done it. Remove your plague from me. Because of the opposition of your hand, I am perishing. With reproofs, you chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to him. Surely every man is a mere breath. As David realizes shortness and the meaningless of his life that is filled with pain and sufferings because of sin, he cries out to God. Verse 7, and now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Only God is able to recreate us. Only God is able to change my meaningless life to glorious life. Deliver me from all my transgression. Remove your plague from me. Only God is able to save us from sin, from God's eternal judgment. For your glory, make me not the reproach of the foolish. Do not let fools mock me. Psalm 3 verse 2, many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. Psalm 71 verse 11, God has forsaken him, pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. They see Christians suffering and so much pain in Christians' life, and this is what they say, they mock this Christian. They're saying, God has no power to save you. God has no power to deliver you from that situation. And in fact, what they're saying is there is no God. There is no God. That's what they're saying. Like Psalm 10, verse 4, the wicked in the haughtiness of his countenance does not seek God. All his thoughts are, there is no God. This is the reason why David does not open his mouth, especially in front of the wicked people. Even though his suffering is great, he doesn't say anything, especially in front of non-Christians. David knows that it is God who is judging him. Verse 9. I have become mute. I do not open my mouth because it is you who have done it. See, all is God. Everything is according to God. We are to trust God and entrust all things to Him. Because if God does not save man, then man is truly meaningless. Really doesn't matter what you think you have accomplished in this world. Verse 12 through 13, this is how the psalm ends. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner like all my fathers. Turn your gaze away from me, and I may smile again before I depart and am no more. Man, this psalm ends in so negative note. See, God's discipline is so great that David feels he is a stranger to God. A sojourner, a stranger, a visitor who passes by, a sojourner, meaning he's not a citizen. A sinner just cannot be close to God. Luke chapter 5, verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Brothers and sisters, only in Jesus Christ we are able to draw near to God. And in Christ, God does not leave us, never. David again cries out to God, forgive my sins and turn your gaze of judgment away from me. Let me recover my strength. Now, what is the meaning to us, as we read this psalm. As we read this psalm, we see the whole Old Testament. Everything you read in this psalm is Old Testament. I mean, obviously it is found in Old Testament, but the whole Old Testament is in this psalm. People are fallen in sin. God's judgment is upon them. And the sinners live in pain and sufferings, living meaningless lives. This is the reality of the whole world right now. Oh no, the world will not think like that. They will not say it like that. But that is how it is. King David cries out to God, but his crying out to God does not solve the problem of our sins. All your repentance will not solve the problem of sin. If Jesus did not die for your sins, then even if you repent of your sins forever, your sins will remain. The problem is not solved in our psalm. The problem is not solved in the whole Old Testament. All the bloody sacrifices cannot solve the problem. Jesus must come. Jesus must bear our sins and die upon that cross and pay the wages of our sins.
Only His blood can cleanse all our sins. Again, in our psalm, we see how David is so blessed. He is given the opportunity to participate in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, because of our sins, He suffered greatly. But unlike David, His suffering were not because of His own sins. He truly never sinned. He is the only one who truly has right to complain, but when He was suffering, He did not open His mouth. He did not complain. Isaiah 53 verse 7, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before His shearers. So He did not open His mouth. Mark chapter 14 verse 61a, but He kept silent and did not answer. But on the cross, when He was bearing our sins, when He was receiving the eternal judgment of God in our places, the pain and the sufferings were so great. As the representative of David, as a representative of all of us, He opens His mouth on the cross. And we need to realize that we too have opened our mouth in Christ. Only on the cross, because of our sins, because the judgment of God was so great, even though He never opened His mouth, especially, like this psalm says, but on the cross, brothers and sisters, because it was such a unbearable judgment. He opens His mouth, but without sin, He opens it to cry out the last complaint of Christianity. My God, my God, why have You forsaken me? Do you understand what our psalm is teaching us about what He went through on the cross? He had to open His mouth. But that complaint is the last complaint of Christianity. The suffering of being forsaken by God the Father. To borrow the language of our psalm, the suffering of being a stranger to God, that suffering was too great. Even our Lord had to open His mouth. He utters that last complaint of Christianity. There must be no more complaint in Christianity after His resurrection. Because God has done everything for us. He has given us all of Himself and His kingdom to us. How can there be complaint after His resurrection? So you understand Jesus' complaint to His Father. That was our last complaint. That's what our psalm is showing us. Because Jesus Christ has paid for all our sins, because Jesus was judged in our place on the cross, because God the Father has forsaken our Lord Jesus Christ in our places, now only in Him, God hears David's and our cries to Him. We must see the seriousness of our sins, the terrifying reality of our sins, terrifying reality of the eternal judgment of God. Terrifying reality of being under God's eternal curse. We need to see all that in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how much you suffer today, that's not where we see these things. We look to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ saved us from sin. And through His death and resurrection, He has saved us from sin and from this world. And we must remember, because of what our Lord has done and what He has accomplished for us, the pain and the sufferings that we might face are no longer God's judgment for our sins. They are God's loving discipline as Father disciplining His sons. They are our opportunities for us to participate in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 36 to 39. Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him, Jesus, who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, whatever sufferings that you might go through, however you are lonely, however you are poor, whatever that might be, those things will not be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, you and I, we are not be able to be a stranger to God any longer. Our loving relationship with our God cannot be severed. He has completely and perfectly forgiven our sins. Verse 3 should not be true of us any longer. Our hearts no longer be hot within us. While we meditate, no longer will be found. The fire, the anger will no longer be found in us. Even if you suffer greatly out there, as you meditate upon these things, because you understand the gospel, you will not find anger in your heart. And you might say, no, no, I do find anger. But I'm talking about you in heaven. Forever and ever, as you meditate upon what God has done, even though you will never face suffering in heaven, even if you do, you will not find any anger in your heart because you understand what Christ has done for you. So yes, we are not like David, but we are more like Christ, who are in heaven right now. This is how we are in Christ, forever and ever. All has been accomplished. All has been given to us. Perfect satisfaction. No more complaint forever. That heavenly life has already begun in you and in me. So you cannot read this psalm as if you're still living in the Old Testament. Because you're not. You're living in heaven. Your spirit is set beside your God. It is truly amazing, psalm after psalm, we realize how blessed we are. We're truly blessed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh Father, as we see our Lord Jesus Christ open His mouth to complain to You, we realize how great, how serious our sins are. Oh Father, we thank You that You send Him
to bear our sins and die in our places so that our sins can be cleansed and be forgiven. Oh Father, because of Christ, we are no longer a stranger to you. That we have sweet, intimate fellowship with you, now and forever. Oh Father, search our hearts. Hear what our lips say. But because of your grace that we pray that you will never find and you will never hear any complaint from us. For we understand that you have given yourself, given your Son, and you have given us your kingdom now and forever. We love you. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.